We welcome you to worship with the Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There is a danger that our lives can be lived pretty much on the surface with very little depth. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you took three of your disciples up to the mountain, we pray today that you will take us up to our mountain as we listen to your word, as we behold you, the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Lord, give us a new vision that will deepen our faith and strengthen our conviction that you, Lord Jesus, are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For it is in your name that we pray. Amen. Of God as it is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. They were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, and he said, "Get up! Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands he's got the whole world. In his hands he's got the whole world. In his hands he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands he's got the whole world. In his hands he's got the tiny little baby. In his hands he's got the tiny little baby. In his hands he's got the tiny little baby. In his hands he's got the whole world. In his hands he's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got you and me, sister. In his hands he's got everybody. In his hands he's got the whole world. In his hands, oh, he's got the whole world.
Friends in Christ, there is always a danger that our lives can be lived pretty much on the surface, that they really lack in depth. Emotions and temporary goals can direct our lives more than good, clear thinking based on facts. That is one of the thoughts that comes from this marvelous text that I'm sure many of you are very well acquainted with, when Jesus took his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration. It is this story that we get some idea of how life can really be changed and how our whole thought process can be revolutionized when Jesus takes us aside and shows us what is before us. In the life of Jesus, this experience on the Mount of Transfiguration was very important. Can't you hear him say, "I have some hard days before me. I have a cross that faces me. And with that cross, there is a great deal of suffering. Suffering physically, as nails are pounded through my hands and thorns are placed on my head. But also sufferings that show me people are not really interested in my mission. They don't see any need for the forgiveness of their sin, for they are steeped in their own self-righteousness. They don't know what a personal relationship with God is, for they have been satisfied with an impersonal relationship centered primarily around ritual. Now it is time," Jesus could go on to say, "for me to get away from the crowd." And then for some strange reason, instead of going himself, he takes three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John. In second thought, maybe it wasn't so strange. You may ask, why didn't he take the whole crowd? And I don't have the answer for that. But I know that he probably took those three because he wanted to give them another viewpoint, another picture of what life could really be all about. So it was time to get away from the crowd. He then, with the three disciples, went up to the top of the mountain. And there before them, they saw a vision, a vision that depicted who Jesus Christ really was. There was Moses. Moses was the one from the Old Testament who represented the law. And then there was Elijah. He was the Old Testament character who represented the prophets, those who foretold the coming of the Messiah. And then after all of this, there was a voice that spoke out of heaven. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." In those moments, Jesus himself was assured that he was doing his Father's will. He knew this was God's will for him to die for the sins of the world. He knew it was for that reason he had been sent into the world. But Jesus, who is both man and God, needed those affirming words from the Father. That's why Jesus could say then later on to his disciples when they were questioning whether he should go near Jerusalem, "What shall I say? Shall I not go to Jerusalem, and shall I say to my Father, 'Save me from this hour'?" And then he comes back very dogmatically, and you can read this in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 27, "No, it was for this reason, primarily to die, that I came to this hour. And this is not the time for any turning around or backing out of the mission that God has given me to do." You see, Jesus' decision was made on the basis of revelation and not on the basis of feeling. There is a real difference, my friend. So many decisions today are made just on the basis of feeling. "Well, I feel that it is right. I'm going to take this job because I feel it is the right thing to do." On the other hand, if you really begin to look through some of the things that you'll be confronted with in this new line of work, you might say, "Well, it's perhaps pretty unwise for me to enter into that kind of employment." Jesus wanted again to hear the word of his Father. "Yes, Jesus, for that reason I have sent you into this world. I know it's going to be very difficult. I know you will suffer severely, but for that you were sent. And remember, I stand there with you to strengthen you." That was the experience for Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Then we could go to the second question, and what did it have to offer in the life of those disciples? Jesus was trying to give them a clearer understanding of what his mission was and what their part would be in it after it was all over. In other words, he wanted that clear vision for them that would deepen their faith. And so they're there. They're overwhelmed. When all of this begins to happen and Peter sees Jesus, not only Jesus, but also Moses and Elijah, he said, "Lord, it's good to be here. I've never had an experience like this. It was one thing to watch you quiet the waters. It was another thing to watch you feed 5,000 people out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was even another thing to watch you raise somebody from the dead. But here, you have us in the very presence of God. And before us we see Moses, of whom our fathers spoke, and Elijah the prophet." And then he gives a very emotional statement. Now notice how Peter responds, and identify yourself with it. "Boy, you know, it's good to be here. What do you say, Jesus? I tell you what I'll do. I'll build a place here for you and for Moses and Elijah, and we can just camp out here for a long, long time." Peter was an extrovert. Peter wanted to be doing things. He was always quick to talk. Now he wanted to act. He could be listed in our days as among the movers and the shakers. But Jesus said to him, "Peter, there's a time to act, but not now. This is a time to listen. This is a time to learn. So be quiet." And then we don't know any more. But as they were walking down the mountain, it was that Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, "Now, look, when you get back to the rest of the crowd, don't tell anyone about this experience until I have been raised from the dead." I've often wondered about that. We're always saying that we have to tell the story. And here Jesus is telling them not to speak too much about what they had seen or heard, because there was another day coming. Why was it that they were not to talk about him now? It was simply because they were not yet ready to talk. The whole message of salvation was not clear to them. They knew that Jesus was going to die. They didn't want to accept it. They wasn't quite sure why, but they had to live through it. You know, friend, that's important, that we need to live through these experiences with God, so that we not only have the message of the Scriptures, which is by far the most important to tell to our world, but that we can also say, and this is how that word came into my life, and this is how it can come into yours, a personal experience. So as they stood there, they took the words of Jesus very meaningfully. It was not until they got to stand beneath the cross of Christ, probably only a short time before them, there when they saw him dying for the sins of the world, they began to understand, even that day when they were on the mount. It was that day when, only 3 days after the crucifixion, the women came and said to Peter and John, "The Lord has been taken out of the tomb." But they began to understand. And yet they were not quite sure. Yes, he had said that he was going to be raised on the third day. But has it really happened? It was when Jesus said to them, "Here I am," in his resurrected form. It was when he met Peter and the rest of the disciples at the sea and said, "I grant you the forgiveness of your sin, Peter, for denying me," that Peter began to understand the power of the resurrection. It was when they saw him lifted up 40 days after the resurrection in the ascension, and then they heard that tremendous word from the Lord. "Now you're ready. Now don't keep quiet. Now go and tell the story." And there was a great commission: "Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them." That was the message. They were anointed by the Spirit 10 days later on Pentecost, and now they were off and ready to build the kingdom of God, which shall have no end. My friend, that was the experience on the mount that really strengthened and gave depth to the faith of those who were there. And now we come down to that last part in the message today, and what does this message of the Transfiguration mean for you and for me? Again and again, if you're a regular church attender, you have heard sermon after sermon on this text. It is generally the text that we use just before we go into the Lenten season. If we are going to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, we are being told, you must be mature in your faith. That means that you must be alone with Jesus Christ in his word. And there he must lift you and me up, just like he lifted up those disciples there on the mountain. It is in the word of God that he shows us again and again who he is and why he has come and what the mission for the church is all about. That's what we're after today. We need to be affirmed in what we believe, don't we? I think that it is very few of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ, who do not from time to time have some wonders. Really, what is it all about? And I take heart in this when our Lord, who was without sin, could say, "It's time for me to get away and to get on top of the mountain and to be affirmed and assured that I need to hear the voice of God calling." And we need to be assured, and we need to be affirmed, and we, unlike Jesus, need to be corrected. Because sometimes our decisions, even for the Lord, can have been based on emotion and not on biblical revelation. And there we walk in danger. Life does have it's hard knocks. And those hard knocks bring with it a lot of hours of wondering, just really, what is it all about? A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching my Bible class here at the church, and we were dealing with this matter of temptation, trying to make it a bit more applicable for those who are in attendance. There was a lady sitting on the front seat, a lady who was mature in her faith. Recently, she had buried a grandson, just a little guy. And now her son was afflicted with a brain tumor. They had done all kinds of things to try to correct that terrible illness, but it wasn't very good. And as I looked at her, I said, "This is probably unfair. I don't want to upset you, but could you tell me, have there been doubts and temptations that came your way as far as God's love is concerned?" And looking at me without battering an eye, she said, "Of course not. There has never been a doubt. There has never been a question as to where God was." I'm sure that there were many in that class who joined me and said, "Oh, what a faith." I said, "Tell us about it." "Well," she said, "if you live with God and His Word, you're fully convinced that He's with you, that there are no errors, that we can't explain it all, but we walk not alone." That's a woman of faith. And I'm thankful to God that while there are many perhaps in the church who could not give that testimony, there are many others who really could. Right now, I am with a young lady. I call her young. I've known her since she was a child. She's middle age. She now is watching her 95-year-old mother die. And she realizes that that is very natural. It's understandable that if a person has lived all of those years, that the old body simply wears out. But it's still hard. It pulls off a scab because 2 months ago, she buried her 60-year-old husband. So she stands there alone. And just before coming to be with her mother in the final hours of her life, she got a word from her son in his 40s. And in that, she learned that he had cancer in the thyroid. And the surgeons were not able to get it all because it would have affected the vocal cords. It's all such a mess. My son, my husband, and my mother. What do you do? She needed to go to the top of the mountain. And so I took her into God's Word to the top of the mountain and read those marvelous words from St. Paul in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 13. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." In other words, many have gone through this same experience. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. See that message? That's the kind of a message that Jesus was getting on the top of the mountain. But when you are tempted, when you are tempted to deny God or to move away from where He wants you to be, God will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it all. Without Christ, friend, our lives can be lived on the surface. But when Jesus Christ is a part of our lives, then we know well the depth of life and walking with Him. Give yourself a treat and live with God every day in His Word, that your faith may be strengthened and you may know that He walks with you forever. Amen.
Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love, teach me
give us the strength to every day walk to the mountain with you, that we may hear your assuring, correcting, loving words. This is the way you are to live. This is your faith. Without your words, Father, it can be very difficult. But with you, there is that peace. Give it to us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message and the music in today's service will strengthen you for the week ahead. Christian Crusaders depends on you, our listener, for our financial support. We thank each of you for your financial gifts, whether large or small. Your gifts enable us to buy radio time to share this worship service with all those who cannot be in church on Sunday. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.